Hello, it's me, Lily, a frog. I'm busy preparing for Christmas here at the Lily Pad, and I have a Christmas story to tell you. It's called The Red Horse, and it's based on a story by the same title by Elsa Molchlin, published in 1929, rewritten and rearranged here by Marlene Werfel. Once upon a time, there was a mummy who loved her job. She was a buyer for a major retailer, which meant she got to go shopping all over the world, and shopping and traveling were her favorite things to do. Once, she went all the way to Europe to tour the Christmas markets there. She went to Austria, Germany, Switzerland, France, Italy, Spain, and Croatia. The markets were vibrant. They were full of music and laughter and delicious smells and so many beautiful things made by hand. There was one Christmas market in particular in Stockholm, Sweden, with lights twinkling into the evening and filled with the cinnamon scent of mulled apple cider that was so lovely it made her want to buy every single thing there. She couldn't, of course, but she could buy a lot from her favorite artisans. And her very favorite was a toy maker's stall where a young man was selling toys carved out of wood. There were wooden boats, wooden soldiers, wooden tops, wooden doll cradles, wooden boxes, and wooden horses. The wooden things were ingeniously made and painted in the brightest, loveliest colors with flowers and leaves and stripes and dots and swirls. The mummy knew that she should buy as much as she could for the store she worked for and that for sure she should buy the prettiest, brightest, red wooden horse at the entrance to the stall for her sweet little son, who had written to Santa Claus that what he wanted for Christmas was a real horse to ride. Now, she didn't know if Santa would bring a real horse to her son, but she could buy him this pretty wooden horse to open on Christmas morning, and so she did. She bought the rest of the toys, too, and she had them shipped back to her store's headquarters in Montreal. But the red wooden horse she took with her on the airplane so her little son could open it up as a surprise from her on Christmas morning. Of course, the boy loved the little red horse. It was so pretty with yellow flowers on his green reins and an elaborate blue heart on his chest and neck. The boy thanked his mommy and he took the horse to his room to play with. He didn't want to say so to his mother, but he was quite disappointed. It's not that he didn't like the horse, it was just that he wanted a real horse so badly, one that he could ride. This one was much too small to ride and was made out of wood, of course, not flesh and bones. So he'd have to make do with pretending. The boy made a little stable for his little wooden horse out of a cardboard box, and he gave the horse some gingerbread to eat and a little dish of water. Then he heard his mother and father calling him to come eat breakfast, and after that he played a game with his sisters, and he read a book with his dad, and then everyone took their sleds and their skates to the park, and they went sliding and skating all afternoon until it was getting dark, and then they hurried home for a warm Christmas feast. When the boy went back to his room to check on his little wooden horse, the water and the gingerbread were gone, and he thought the horse had grown just a little bit bigger. The boy gave the horse some more gingerbread and water and a carrot too. And after Christmas dinner, the boy checked on his horse again, and he could barely believe it. But the water was gone, and the gingerbread was gone, and the carrot was gone too. That night, the boy insisted the horse sleep in his bed with him, and after he was tucked in with his arms around the wooden horse, he asked the toy if he was real. "Are you secretly a real horse?" whispered the boy. The wooden horse didn't reply, but the boy thought he felt a single drumbeat resound from within the wooden body. When the boy woke up, he put his toy back in its stable, and he went to the kitchen for breakfast. "Mom, what makes horses grow?" he asked. And she replied, the same thing that makes boys grow, oats. And she set a bowl of warm oatmeal in front of him, and he ate just a little bit, and the rest he took back to his room for his horse. His mother was right. The horse loved oatmeal, so the boy kept asking for more and more and sneaking it back to the red horse. Goodness, said the mother, as bowl after bowl, pot after pot of oatmeal that she made for her boy disappeared. You must be going through a growth spurt. Soon, the horse grew too big for his little cardboard box, and the boy cleaned out his closet so the horse could use that as a stable instead. At night, the boy would hold the wooden horse in his arms and ask him, "Are you secretly a real horse?" And he'd feel a series of thrumming beats come from the horse's chest, and eventually, the horse neighed in reply. The boy knew then that the horse was somewhere between being alive and being just a thing carved out of wood. "I love you like you're a real horse," he told the red horse. And the horse said, But the horse was very stiff because, after all, he was carved out of wood and he couldn't flick his tail or move his legs. He was growing so big that he didn't fit in the boy's bed anymore or in his closet. The boy couldn't close the closet door at all if the horse was standing in it. "Mommy," said the boy, "I think my horse might be real." "Which horse?" asked the mother, because by this time it was spring, and the mother was back from a trip to Morocco and Algeria, and she'd quite forgotten about the red horse. "The red horse that you bought me for Christmas." "Oh, that horse," smiled the mother. "From Sweden. Oh, I'm sure he is real, my sweet little guy." But all the same, the boy thought his mother didn't really believe him. "He's the one that's been eating all the oatmeal." "Oh, well, that explains everything," said his mom, and she gave him a hug and a squeeze. But still, by this time it was spring, and the snow had melted away, and there was green grass and birdsong, and the boy thought the horse might do a bit better outside, so he carried his horse out into the backyard. It was hard to do, because the horse had grown much more than the boy had since Christmas. The horse barely fit down the stairs and out the front door, but the boy was persistent, and he lifted and squeezed him through the back door, turning him this way and that way, maybe getting just a little red paint on the door frame that would puzzle his father later. And then the boy set his horse on the lawn, and the horse's tail started twitching immediately. The boy thought that was a good sign, so he left the horse outside in the sunshine on the lawn. When the boy came back to check on the horse, he was prancing all around the backyard, and he'd eaten all of his mother's flowers in their flower pots. Well, the boy felt terrible, and he was worried that he'd get into trouble or that someone would see the horse and take him away, so he decided to hide the horse. But where? Well, a few summers ago, his mother had asked his father to build her a potting shed after watching something on the Home and Garden channel. And the father finally built the potting shed, but his mother didn't use it. Not really. She said that wasn't the point of it. So the boy took everything out of it, and he squeezed the horse in there with a bucket of oats from the pantry and a pail of water from the tap outside. And he put a stick through the handle and door so that the horse couldn't get out. Only when the boy thought it was safe, he'd let him out. The boy let the horse out every day to graze on the lawn, but when he started eating flowers, he let him back into the shed and barred the door. One day, the horse reared up and then bent down very low so that the boy could tell he wanted the boy to climb onto his painted saddle and to go for a ride. Well, the boy was so happy. It was everything he'd been dreaming of for what seemed like forever. So he climbed into the saddle and, to his delight, the horse galloped away with the boy holding tight to his reins. Over the fence and across the park and through the river valley, the horse ran, the boy holding on tight. It was the most fun he'd had in his entire life. But the horse didn't stop. He followed the river all the way out of the city and into the prairie fields. And still, the horse didn't stop. He galloped over fields and through forests, further and further away. The boy tugged back on the reins, but the horse didn't stop until they reached a tiny town surrounded by aspen and spruce trees with a river running through it. The horse galloped straight to the river and drank, and then munched on some green grass as the sun was setting in the town. "We'll go home soon, I'm sure," thought the boy, but the horse just lay down under a tree and went straight to sleep under the stars. There was nothing to do but curl up to the horse for warmth and sleep, too. The boy was so exhausted, though his belly was aching with hunger, he hadn't thought to bring a juice box or a sandwich. When the sun rose, the horse bent down low again for the boy to get on, and he did, thinking, "Now we will go home." But the horse didn't turn around. He galloped down the riverbank until they reached a great bridge, and the horse galloped across the bridge and kept heading north. They ran and ran all day until they were deep into some forested mountains where there was no one in sight. Well, finally they reached a trapper's cabin with a red tin roof and wood smoke coming out from the chimney, and a man and a woman came out and saw a boy on a bright red horse that looked just like he was made out of wood, with flowers and hearts painted on him, and they were amazed. They offered the horse some water and the boy a bowl of stew and some bannock. He was so glad. Then the trapper showed the horse a nice spot to sleep by the wood pile, and they brought the boy inside and gave him a warm old blanket and a spot by their wood stove. In the morning, the boy thanked the trappers and climbed back onto the horse, and they continued to head north. The horse went on and on, and it seemed he was galloping faster and faster, with so much speed that they were soon so far north that the ground was frozen all around them, even though it was still summertime. "We must be getting near the North Pole," thought the boy, and he began to shiver, and he was so worried about freezing that he called out, "Help! Help!" Thank goodness some Canadian geese were flying overhead, and they carried the message straight to Mrs. Santa Claus, who flew to them in the magic sleigh, and she corralled the horse and the boy to Santa's magical village. The horse she led to the reindeer stables, all made out of peppermint sticks and peppermint patties, and full of plenty of sweet hay and burbling fountains, with elves to cover the horse in blankets and to shoe his feet and comb his mane and tail. One elf put jingle bells down the horse's flanks. The boy, Mrs. Claus brought to her kitchen, where she fed him chicken pot pie and cookies of all kinds, with fresh glasses of reindeer milk, which the boy thought was delicious. Mrs. Claus gave the boy some gifts, a magic lunch bag that was always full, just like Santa's sack of presents is always full, no matter how much he takes out and gives away, and a warm coat made of red velvet and lined with white fur with a hood and mittens attached. Didn't the boy look handsome on his horse? Both of them in red as they galloped away the next morning across the frozen Arctic and across the great sea to Greenland, which is not green at all, of course, but frozen solid and icy white everywhere. You might be wondering how the horse crossed the open waters and the great oceans, but remember, he isn't made out of flesh and bones, he's made of wood, and so he floats just like a boat. They made it to Greenland in no time, but then they slowed down because the winds were so fierce. But the boy was warm enough, even though it was as cold as it gets on this earth, and the horse was galloping so fast they might as well have been flying through the icy air. They traveled and traveled until they were across the Norwegian Sea, where they arrived at a fishing village. The boy couldn't understand any of the words the people were speaking to him. He could tell, though, that the villagers were amazed at the wooden horse and the rider in the red coat, because they were clapping their hands and they were shouting happily. The horse didn't want to stop, though. He continued to journey straight to wherever he was taking the boy. The boy suspected the horse might be going home to wherever he came from. They were climbing up from the coastline to a mountainous region, and as they traveled, they came to a village that was very poor, where skinny men and children waved to them from the roadside, and skinny women held skinny babies. The boy gave his magical lunch sack to one of the women with many children so that they'd always have something to eat. And they continued on. As they went higher up into the mountains, the air got thinner and colder, and the boy noticed that people were wearing clothing that was bright and colorful like his horse. They had patterns on everything they wore, swirls, flowers, dots, and hearts, just like were painted on his horse. Finally, the horse broke into a happy gait, whinnied, and the boy could tell that they'd arrived at the horse's destination. It was a bright yellow cottage with an elaborately carved wooden door and shutters, painted red with the very swirls and flowers and dots and hearts he saw on his horse. The boy dismounted and knocked on the door. It was the home of a toy maker, the toy maker who had carved the horse, and he recognized the horse immediately. "Well, well, well," he said, "another of my toys have come to life and returned home to me." The woodcarver explained that this could happen sometimes if the toy was carved from the heart of a tree. He said that every tree has a heart, and although the carver can never tell where it is in the tree, if a wooden thing is carved out of the wood, whether it's a shoe or a toy or a fiddle, it will come to life if it has everything a heart needs, especially love. When the man said the word love, the boy thought of his home, of his mother, his father, and his sisters, and he wanted so desperately to go to them that tears came to his eyes. "Well, let's get you home then," said the man. "We will call your mother and father. They must be so worried. And then we'll take the very next train to get you where you belong." The train station was not far away, and the woodcarver and the boy decided to walk there. But the red horse wouldn't come. He wouldn't budge an inch towards the station. "I suppose I'll have to say goodbye then," said the boy. "I love you, horse." And the boy gave the horse his magical cloak to wear as a blanket so that he wouldn't be cold on the mountain while the boy traveled all the way back home to Canada. The woodcarver and the boy traveled by train to Stockholm, then through Denmark to the Netherlands and Schiphol Airport. There was a plane ticket home waiting for the boy, and he boarded an airplane to fly over the ocean again, home to his family. They were so happy to see him and covered him in kisses and hugs. It took him many days to tell them all that had happened to him. And of course, they were amazed. Weeks later, a brown paper package arrived from Sweden, addressed to the boy. When he opened it up, he was surprised to find his wooden horse, all small again and stiff and wooden, just like he'd opened it up on that Christmas morning. Except there were tiny jingle bells down his flank where the elf had decorated him. And there was a note from the toy maker that said, "Think of it. We forgot to leave fodder for your horse to eat when we went away. And when I came back to the workroom, there he stood on the table and was only an ordinary little wooden horse again, like all the others. So I'm sending him back to you, where he'll be in good hands once more. Love from your old friend, the carver of wooden horses."